So welcome to those joining us from home or from the Zendo at Wall Street, wherever you are, near and far. We are sitting in the boundless Zendo together. And I was just explaining to the folks here at Loon Lake that sometimes we have evening talks at Loon Lake. And starting last year, we shared them with the people at Wall Street Zendo as well, via Zoom. It's lovely and quiet here at Loon Lake. So we notice the sounds that do arise. The sound of the heater fan, that strange machine behind the door over there, the clank of doors. And outside, there are just a few twitters from birds at this time of the year. But there's a wonderful crunch of our footsteps on the frosty ground. Isn't that wonderful, beautiful music? So tonight, I want to talk a little bit about listening practice. Those of you who have been following along in our study of the Vimalakirti Sutra over our 8-week practice period will remember the chapter Susan gave a Dharma talk on about 2 weeks ago, where Vimalakirti asks the host of bodhisattvas assembled in his little sick room how to enter the gate of non-duality. And each one presents a different kind of duality and how to go beyond it. And these are wonderful teachings, each one. But finally, Manjushri, the bodhisattva of wisdom, asks Vimalakirti how he enters the gate of non-duality. And Vimalakirti answers with silence, which became known as Vimalakirti's thunderous silence, famed. So there's a duality right there, sound and silence. How could there be sound without silence? How could there be silence without sound? Both are Dharma gates. And this story reminded me of another Mahayana sutra called the Shurangama Sutra. No Sanskrit version has ever been found. It only exists in Chinese, the earliest. But its origins are suspected to go back to India, and then were compiled as a sutra in China. And there's a large section of the text that consists of the Buddha's request for each of his disciples and a host of bodhisattvas to reveal the method by which they achieved enlightenment. So I can't help but wonder if this followed the example of the Vimalakirti Sutra, which would have been known in those times. It's a similar storytelling device. So after listening to the many explanations of meditative practices that brought each of these bodhisattvas to enlightenment, the Buddha asked Manjushri, bodhisattva of wisdom, to select the best practice of all. And Manjushri chooses the practice offered by Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, the bodhisattva of compassion, whose name in Chinese, Guan Shuyin, or in Japanese, Kanze-on, can be translated as hearing the cries of the world. So Avalokiteshvara's practice, through which she came to enlightenment, was, you guessed it, listening practice. So here's some lines from the sutra that gives Manjushri's rationale. You know, when there's a prize, a literary prize or a, you know, the Academy Award, somebody has to say, well, this is why we chose this one as best. So Manjushri gives his rationale for choosing the superiority of listening practice. When one dwells in quietude, rolls of drums from 10 directions are heard simultaneously. So hearing is complete and perfect. So in other words, hearing is not limited directionally. Right? The eyes cannot pierce a screen. Neither can mouth nor nose. Body only feels when it is touched. Mind's thoughts are confused and unconnected. But voice, whether near or far, at all times can be heard. So he's saying, you know, we can only see with our eyes open, or taste when we put something in our mouth, or touch when we touch or are touched. But we have no lids for our ears. They're always open, even when we're asleep. You know, we can't see behind our head. We don't have 360 degrees like an owl. But we have the capacity to hear, even in the dark, which has probably been crucial to our evolutionary survival. We might say the same thing about our sense of smell. We don't have nostril lids. But the human sense of smell is so atrophied compared to many animals at this point in our life as a species that we miss a tremendous amount of olfactory information. And we're often unconscious of how much we do receive, such as the pheromones, those little chemical signals of fear or sexual attraction. Now, if we were dogs, this would be a very different sesshin. And all we'd have to say for Dharma talk would be, sit, stay, drop it, don't roll in that stinky thing. Good dog. In our Zazen practice, when we pay attention to sounds, we can notice how our mind responds to stimuli. We hear a sound, almost even before we identify it, we have a response. Pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, or indifferent. Most often we identify the sound, dog barking. Although if our mind will filter out a sound if it's unfamiliar or insignificant. We may ignore it. We might not consciously perceive it, perhaps at our own peril, especially if we have our earbuds in or crossing a street or riding a bicycle. Each of us has our own karmic relationship with sound, what we find delightful, what we find maddening, what we simply don't notice or pay attention to. If the dog barking is our dog, happy to see us come home, it's a happy sound. If it's our annoying neighbor's yappy dog, it's unpleasant. And depending on our history and our conditioning around dogs, a narrative may start up, remembering our beloved old dog who died last year. Or maybe we veer off into the annoying neighbor's offensive behaviors. Right? These sequences are like mental cascades. Right? They happen very quickly, often before we are even conscious of them in our busy daily lives. But in Sesshin, in our Zen practice, life is simplified. It's slowed down enough so that we can pay better attention to these cascades. We can use noticing sounds and our reactions to them. are the sounds of people eating in our oryoki, our traditional Zen meals. The small clacking of spoons and chopsticks. Is that pleasant or indifferent or aversive? I think it's kind of, I like the music of it. You can notice that something that was aversive is now indifferent or pleasant. It can change, right? When the mind is very quiet, sounds can arise and pass. Just sounds, without any reactivity. So this practice of listening can be a kind of template that can extend to the way we pay attention to or listen to our own mind. A memory arises, or an image, or a worry, or a discursive thought pattern. And we notice it, whether it's, is it pleasant, or unpleasant, or indifferent. And then we notice the cascade of reactions that follow, the dialogue, the storyline. And then when we notice, we patiently come back to our next breath, to our body sitting in place. When the mind is quite quiet, these little arisings, I call them proto-thoughts. They're not even thoughts. They're just like a little bubble that starts to come to the surface and it doesn't even break the surface. It's just a little bloop. 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 Just a slight disturbance on the surface of the waters, just like we see on the lake out there, that rippling of the reflection of the trees and the grasses along the shore. So listening becomes a Dharma gate that swings wide the gates of the other senses and of consciousness itself. The sutra doesn't make this explicit, but I don't think it's any coincidence that it's the Bodhisattva of compassion who offers this practice. This insight into the nature of our being, into the nature of self and mind, that is not separate from the fabric of all existence, this insight co-arises with the heart of compassion. And from this open heart of compassion, we listen to the cries of the world. And we respond with the many skillful means of the thousand arms of Kannon. You've seen those images with the thousand arms, each with a different tool to respond to the suffering of suffering beings. And we know that sometimes the greatest gift we can give someone is simply listening with an open heart and mind. I don't know if Hakuin Zenji, the 18th century Japanese Rinzai master, had access to the Sharingama Sutra. I wouldn't be surprised if he had. But late in life, he came to value listening practice more than any other. And he created the famous koan, listen to this, that's given in English as what is the sound of one hand clapping. In Japanese, it's just listen to the sound of one hand. Listen to the sound of one hand. Hakuin was known for the intensity of his practice and very rigorous teaching methods at a time when Rinzai Zen, in his view, had become slack and lazy. And he practiced fiercely with the koan mu. Mu, nothing, no, negation. In his youth, he was a fierce practitioner in his youth, and he used that for the centerpiece of his teaching for 45 years. But in his later years, he came to almost exclusively use listening, to use the listening koan. And he said it was infinitely more effective than any of the methods I had used before. He came to value listening. So let's do a little listening practice. Okay? Take your zazen posture. And I'm going to invite you to close your eyes a little differently from our usual practice so you can really just take in sound. So let's start by bringing our attention to the subtle sounds of our own bodies, starting with the breath, the in-breath and the out-breath. See if you can hear your own breath. Don't try and exaggerate it in any way. Just listen to your breath as it is. See if you can notice any difference between breathing in and breathing out. Just listen to the sound of your own body. Notice any other sounds in your body. These are very subtle, very small. Maybe any abdominal noises. Notice we tend to call them noises. We usually use the word noise for unwanted sounds. How do we hear those sounds that are inside our body? Do we hear them from the inside? Or from the outside? Are they accompanied by sensations of movement or pressure? You might notice little clicks or snaps in your joints with just the slightest adjustment of your posture. Can you hear your heartbeat? Put your hand over your heart. Now, can you hear your heartbeat? There are people who see with their fingers. There are people who hear with their skin. There are many kinds of vibrations. Now expand your awareness to the sounds in the room, wherever you are. Just noticing sounds coming and going. Those of you at home may hear sounds of other people or animals. You may hear sounds from mechanical devices, electric devices, electronics. Small background noises, unidentified. Just notice, as sounds come to your awareness, any resonance or reaction that you have in your body and mind. Pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. And then just as we do in Zazen, with coming back to our breath, when the mind wanders or gets caught up in a storyline or discursive thought, you can bring the attention back to sound, to listening. Now I'm going to ask Ben to ring the small bell. And let's just see how long we can hear that sound. Thank you, everyone, for doing that little listening practice with me and for listening to my talk. And may both sound and silence be Dharma gates for you here as we continue Sesshin, and for those of you who are doing home Sesshin with us or as you go into your daily life. Thank you, everyone, for joining us this evening. You can just sit quietly for the rest of this period.